Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our incarnate and born Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Christ is born, and the angels sing. They blend their voices together in heavenly harmony, resounding in joyful praise and in exalting His glory. All of creation wonders at such mercy. God is born of a woman for the sake of hateful and ungrateful men. Heaven praises God for this unfathomable love, beholding a mystery of the divine in the flesh. Heaven rejoices because heaven knows that God's will is always good. As has been long foretold but frequently forgotten, it is God's will to redeem His human creatures. For our salvation, God deems to dwell here below. For you, He intends to endure horrible sufferings and pain, even death. He does this so that we who were lowly, we who deserve nothing at all, might be exalted. By divine mercy, we who rebel regularly and sin constantly are now made higher than those angels who never rebelled, who never sinned. And in spite of this, no, because of this, because of the exalted status given to us in God's mercy, the angels sing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. This mystery is beyond all of creation's understanding. Even the angels cannot fathom it. They, like us, wonder at its joy. Shepherds quake. Mary ponders. And we poor sinners eat the body and drink the blood of the God who took on flesh. We who are addicted to rejecting His guiding hand and ought to fear being crushed by His mighty arm are made bold to call the Father of our Lord and Savior our Father too. Do not ask how this can be. Where God wills it, the order of nature is turned on its ear. He who parts the Red Sea, He who multiplies the loaves and sees Nathanael standing by the fig tree, He is willed to become man. He willed. He spoke. He saved. All things move in obedience to Him who is the great I Am. And thus, defying our logic and our understanding of just how things are, the great I Am is conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of a virgin. I Am becomes man. He who is becomes what He was not before. For though He is still fully God, He also became man, yet without relinquishing the Godhead that is His. And now He who became Emmanuel, God with us, is and forever will be man for us. He is still a man who was crucified and died, the man who rose and who ascended, the one who sits at His Father's right hand as God and as man on our behalf. This is our exaltation. This is our hope. His incarnation did not cause Him to forsake the holy angels either. He has not left them. He has not deprived them of His care. Though He is a man, He has not ceased to be God. He still loves all that He has created. He never stops sustaining it and caring for it. Even while on the cross, He loved and sustained His creation. He is God and He is man, one Christ, our Lord, perfectly united in will and in desire, perfectly one with His Father and with the Spirit. Let us follow the lead of the holy angels then, and bow to the mystery of this love. He has interceded on our behalf, and He has given Himself as our sacrifice for our salvation. He opens heaven to lowly sinners, sinners who had no right to ask. Come, say the angels, let us adore Him. Come, say the shepherds, and see this thing that God has revealed to us. Come, say the wise men, and worship the newborn King of Israel and of all creation. So come, come you infants, you babes in your mother's arms. Adore Him who became a little child. Out of the mouths of infants, he perfects praise. We're glad that you're here. And if you cry, and if you squawk, and if you fuss from time to time, we really don't mind that. You are the model of our faith. You teach us how to trust while we are helpless and unworthy. And come, you children, come to the child who raised up young martyrs in the vicinity of Bethlehem through the rage of Herod. Come and adore the Christ, your Lord. We will not hinder you, but we will strive to teach you how to confess Christ rightly, how to discern the body and the blood of Christ, to trust his word, knowing that all the while it is the Spirit alone that truly teaches us all. Come, you men. Come to him who became a man that he might help heal the mysteries of those he raised up from the soil of the earth. You who are to guide and to keep and to protect your families as a shepherd does his flock. Come. Come to the good shepherd, the shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. You ministers of his word, you too come to him who has become our great high priest on the order of Melchizedek. You who work under the direction of others and the leadership of others, and yes, sometimes even under the oppression of others, come to him who came to us and took upon himself the form of a servant. You who strive and you who worry about keeping all of those treasures that he has given to you, come to him who had no place to lay his head, that he might bless our stewardship and give us joy in our work. You who live by the strength of your back or the sharpness of your skills, come to him who is the fisher of humanity. Even you publicans, you who work for money, who track its quantity and seek to become rich, come to him who from among you chose Matthew to be an evangelist, who changes hearts, and who gives us treasures that go far beyond our math. Come, you women. Do not stay back. Do not lose yourself in your work and in your families and in your fears. Come to him who exposed his feet to the tears of the repentant woman, who prayed for the women of Jerusalem, who first announced and revealed his resurrection to women. Come to him who was born of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the essence of female virtue, and the absolute paragon of our faith. Come and adore him, for he is Christ the Lord, our Savior. He saves us from our sins. He delivers us from death. He is our God, and he is our brother. He makes us free and he lifts up fallen humanity. Come, all sinners, that he may embrace us all together. Come that we may look upon the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and be joined in his holy body, the church. Come, come and adore him. God has become a man for you. For you he has picked up his cross. For you he has taken the bitter cup of wrath. For you, he has endured the worst that hell can throw at him. Against sin, he has given his holy blood. And with it, he has quenched all of hell's hatred and even God's wrath against sin. All for you. Rejoice, O Christian. Rejoice. But is that the strongest word that we have? Rejoice? It seems too small, too shallow, too fleeting a term to encompass and to express the praise that should come bursting out of us. We who have our consciences cleansed, we who are purged by his word, whose guilt and whose shame are gone, who are given yet again one more fresh start. We are forgiven. We are spared. The light has shined in our darkness. He has rescued us from eternal torture for the sake of his grace. What words, what even music can adequately contain and convey our joy? Rejoice, celebrate, be glad, adore. Even you who mourn, come and adore. Do not be afraid. Do not be guilty or ashamed. Leave behind your regrets and all of your recriminations. The joy of Christ, the joy of forgiveness is undeserved by all. Whatever you have endured, his joy does not defile the memory. You are not less sad than you should be if your heart is warmed by the love of God. There is no guilt in accepting his joy and the soothing of the pain. The joy of Christ is meant to give you comfort and relief. We have Christ our Lord, and so we do not mourn as the world mourns. We have hope. Therefore, we are not sad for our departed brothers and sisters. We are sad for ourselves. They are at peace in the church triumphant, while we still suffer in this world's strife. We wait the time, though, when we will see them again. We will see them again because Jesus Christ became a man, suffering like us and suffering infinitely more, and then dying and rising from the dead. You who mourn, come. Let us mourn with you, for Christians should never mourn alone. Yes, we all feel a degree of sorrow for being without loved ones today, for being apart from those who have preceded us in the faith and fallen asleep in Jesus, and also being apart from those who, due to distance or circumstances or violence and sin, are not with us this day. Our war has not ended, even though the victory has been made ours, already won for us by his blood. Our tables of the Christmas feast will not be the same this year as they were last year, will they? They've been attacked. They've been attacked by death and by divorce, assaulted by arguments and by cancer, by broken promises and by betrayal. And those tables of the Christmas feast will not be the same next year as they are this year either, or the year after that, because there is no constant but God and his grace and his love and his mercy. But we still rejoice, and we still adore. For God is man, and God is good. His mercy endures forever. Jesus lives. Our dead are not dead. Jesus lives, and so they live. Jesus was born, and Jesus is man, one of us. Jesus has ascended into heaven, and therefore we have hope. Therefore, we can both mourn and adore. We can be glad and sad at the same time. We can wait for the will of the Lord to be revealed in the goodness in which we trust even now as we enjoy that peace that passes all understanding. Your pain will not endure. Heaven and earth will pass away. Your loneliness and your sorrow will pass away as surely as will your regrets and your guilt. Nothing lasts forever except this, the grace and the mercy and the love of our God in Christ. The trumpet will sound. Yes, we will be changed. We will then be as we were meant to be, and all sadness will end. All because our God is a man. And therefore we have a mediator, an advocate, a lover of both our bodies and our souls. We cannot die, and nor can we lose loved ones to death forever, because Jesus lives, and so will we, and so do all who confess his name. Christ was born for this. Christ was born in Bethlehem for this. What joy is ours in him. It is that joy that has brought us here today to sing what angels sing. Here we are with sword-pierced souls, with eager expectations, with complicated lives, and with painful pasts. And yet also with the joy that can only come from being loved and being forgiven by God himself. Here we are with our doubts and our faith, to celebrate his birth, to keep the ancient feast. And so we take our part in it. Not by plucking harps in heaven or in performing miracles, but in holding in our arms the cradle of Christ. For Christ is cradled even now, not in a feed trough in Royal David City, but in the Holy Scriptures which we hear. He is cradled in the bread and the wine by which he gives us his body and his blood. When we say our prayers, when we receive his absolution, when we add our amen to the church's worship, we are cradling Christ in ourselves. And in that, we who are flesh are joined in Him together. Him who is the Word made flesh by grace through faith forever. Rejoice then, O Christian. Sing with the angels. Wonder with the shepherds. Worship with the wise men. Whatever burdens might be yours, rejoice that Christ is born. Your struggles are not unknown by your Father in heaven or to His holy angels. They are certainly understood by the Son who became man. He has provided your rescue. Your day will come. In the meantime, rejoice. Adore. Your sins are forgiven. Christ is born. Jesus lives. And so do you. In His holy name, amen.
Amen.